It's good to be here and thankful for the opportunity we had this weekend to be among you. I'd like to be able to deny my office there, but I guess I can't. It's actually one of the nicer offices. That one happened to have a toilet seat on it. I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings. I'm sure thankful for everybody here that all the labor has gone into preparing for the reunion and cooking for us and the prayers and preparation for everybody. It's always a pleasure to stand before my brothers and sisters and preach the gospel. We're richly blessed in the Church of Christ. You know, we've seen in the last 12 or 13 years the church grow from a couple thousand to 10,000. Many different congregations in the world. And we only can say that it's the Lord's work. It's not anything that any person has done. The Lord has prepared the hearts of those that were searching for the truth. We pray that we'll continue to be led by the Lord to those places where He has prepared the people, that we might be able to preach and that they might in fact receive it. But as we see Africa and the Philippines and Honduras and Mexico, I have to admit it's exciting to be a part of that. It's exciting to be a part of the Church of Christ. We have a message. We have a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the advantage over everyone else because we can come and preach the truth. We don't come with any other purpose. We don't come to gain numbers. We tell the people there that we don't want them to believe what we're saying because we said it. We want them to believe it because that's what the Scripture said. And we can't go wrong. Just been blessed so many times. So many testimonies I could bear of telling of circumstances that came up, and I didn't know the answer, and the Lord would direct us and give us the answer, and it was be the ones that they were looking for, and they appreciated them. They were told that in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ, His gospel of the kingdom would be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And it would go forth as a witness to them. And we're all part of that. We're experiencing that. We may not be able to travel in a foreign land, but we can pray. We can read the reports. We can appreciate and thank God for the blessings. The Scriptures tell us that we're all part of the body of Christ. If we'll turn to the 1 Corinthians. In the 12th chapter, starting in the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I don't know if I read that right. But for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, and it goes on, the foot can't tell the ear what to do, the ear can't tell the nose, those are my words. That we're all an important part of the body of Christ. Each one of us. For some reason, the Lord has called us out of the world into His church in the last days, that He might raise up a peculiar people, a people dedicated to Him, a people that would show His example in the way we live our lives and walk. Our brother Mike, told us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. So we have a responsibility, we have a duty, we have a promise to fulfill to our Heavenly Father, and that is to be His people and to call forth and to preach the gospel and to bring it forth in our everyday life and activities by how we walk and how we talk. We're all in the missionary field, each one of us. whenever we walk out the door of our church, wherever we might be, and we're out into the world, we have an opportunity to let our light shine, even to be Christ-minded and to be that city on the hill that shines forth. And, you know, sometimes we falter. Sometimes we err. We're human. But we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to continue in the faith. We have to be prepared. We have a need to study the scriptures, to understand what it is that we believe and why we believe. We're different than every other church in the world. Somebody said there's 30,000 churches in the world today, 30,000 different religions, but there's only one church of Christ, and we're a part of that. He called and said he built his church, and he called it his bride, and he preached that a man should only have one bride. We're that bride, and we have the responsibility to Christ, to bear his name, and to bring fruits. Bring forth fruits, meet for repentance, and to, by a sterling example, bring others into the body of Christ. But the Lord has promised us that he'll help us in these things. He's given us a gift, even of the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to speak to us, to correct us, to admonish us, to encourage us. We aren't left alone, but we have to allow ourselves and prepare ourselves to listen to his still small voice, to know what it sounds like, and to follow it. We're blessed to have the scriptures. We're blessed to have two records that testify of Jesus Christ. We're fortunate to have the Bible. These holy men of old were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write those things down that you and I have it. And we have the promises of an unchangeable God. He said in Malachi, you know, I am the Lord God, I change not. Or in Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a wonderful promise. We can go forth and preach this gospel and preach the words of Jesus Christ and know that they're as just important today as they were 2,000 years ago. You know, part of the things I have written down here say that we live in a changing time. Our world is changing. Our culture is changing. What's good is bad. What's bad is good. You know, and we see it right before our eyes. The scriptures testified that things would be like that. And even within the churches of the world, those things are changing. Good is bad, and bad is good. There's a spirit of progressiveness. There's a spirit of tolerance, and we have to be tolerant of immorality and what have you. That it doesn't make any difference what religion you are, even. Or what church you go to, if you happen to be Christian, you know that the scriptures aren't the absolute truth. That there's some questions, they're fables, but that's not what God said. He says he never changes. He said I'm going to be the same. You don't have to doubt, but we're all going to stand there before him to be judged according to our works. According to the things that are written in the books, according to his commandments, according to those things that he has professed and taught and that we have before us, not only in the Bible, but a second witness of Jesus Christ. The Book of Mormon, that we're to shine that forth as a second witness to a proof of the things that another culture, another people, another continent in the world, Jesus Christ came and taught exactly those same things. The purpose is to show us. It says in the Book of Mormon, one of the purposes is to prove to us that the Bible is right. It's true. Another witness. Other people, not the Jews, not those people in Jerusalem, said the same thing. Time and time again, you can pick those things up and pick them and read them from one scripture to another scripture, and they testify of their truthfulness. We have a need to call to the world and ourselves to repentance. The beautiful plan of salvation that God has laid before us, that his gave his only son and sacrificed for the sins of mankind, so that we might be saved, that we might be lifted up, that we might be able to stand before him and be judged according to our works, or whether they be good or whether they be evil. We've been given the knowledge of those teachings. We've been given the responsibility to teach him with full purpose of heart. The scriptures tell us that you know, there's no surprises. The prophets of old proclaim what it's going to be in these last days. And yet, sometimes we're surprised. It shouldn't surprise us of things that are happening. We better be prepared. Scriptures tell us not to procrastinate the day of our repentance. Are we all prepared to stand before God and to be judged? You know, we, the Church of Christ, you know, are we prepared? Are we prepared to proclaim his name throughout the nations of the earth? Are we prepared to stand up and be persecuted? Are we prepared to be laughed at and mocked by the churches of the world? We live in a day and a time that there save two churches on the earth. That's the day that the Book of Mormon talked about. We live in that time, I believe, that you know there is the Church of the Lamb of the God, the Church of Christ, and there's all the other churches in the world. All those that teach against the Scriptures, the Gospel of Christ, all those that say talk against the Book of Mormon, you know, are those that are against the workings of Christ. And so we're told to be prepared for ourselves for the day and the time that we live in. To be prepared to see the change within, even in the Christian churches of the world. And we have it today. They profess a progressivism, non-denominational, no structure, no organization, no absolute truth. The scriptures are subjective, you know, according to your experiences, that we can change or should change, or we should be progressive and change, make a shift as the culture shifts to what is true and what is right and what is wrong. But that's not what Jesus Christ told. And he's calling on us to proclaim and to be steadfast. We have a belief that we see them in the religions today, of the mega churches or whatever, in their entertainment center. And they call themselves seeker friendly, that they'll be friendly to all those that want to believe, no matter what they believe. You can keep on doing what you want to do. But what does the scripture say? We have to come. We have to have faith in God. We have to put our faith and trust in him and follow him. We have to acknowledge that he is God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, his son, Jesus Christ. We have to accept his son as our Lord and Savior. We have to follow his example as he went down into the waters of baptism. Being a perfect being, but he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness as an example for you and I. To repent of our sins, to be baptized, to have hands laid upon us for the reception of the Holy Ghost, that we might have that spirit of truth to abide within us that no one can steal from us except ourselves. We all pay attention to it. That still small voice that guides and directs us in our day. That's the gift that he's given to the Church of Christ above all others. Now we have it and should cherish it and call on it and use it daily in our life. If not, we're not living up to the promise. We're not living up to his expectation, to the things that he wants us to fulfill as a body, as the church on earth today. We're to be that light. We are, I know it's not making any sense right now. We have to remember there's some reason He's called us. You and I. What is that purpose? What is we as an individual? What do I as an individual? What do any of us as individuals have? You know, what's our goal? We have to reach beyond what we think that we can do. You know, if it's singing or planning or whatever. You know, we have to reach beyond that and step out and allow the Lord to direct us. We have to listen to a still small voice, and if it's some talent that we have or some bit of knowledge that we think that we should know and we can glorify God, we need to obtain that and use it. Share it with others. You know, he didn't call PhDs. He didn't call theologians. And we can look right among the ministry of the Church of Christ. I guess I do know one that has a PhD, and that's Glenn Gill. But that's the only one. You know, we're just plain old common folk, just like they were, like the 12 apostles were. You know, fisherman, lawyer, well, it's an exception, I guess. But, you know, I just realized I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. But the point is, you know, when we travel and go to these foreign countries, they you know, these young men, old men, those that would like, they have an interest in preaching the gospel of Christ, want to know if we have seminaries to send them to. No. You go to a seminary, you learn the teachings of man. What would you want to do that for? We want them to go, we need to go. Each one of us can go, just as Paul went, and be taught of God. Every one of us, young and old, male or female. That promise is held out to all of us, that the Lord will teach us and mold us and shape us according to our desires to humble ourselves, and he'll shape us into those vessels he wishes us to do. You know, I never thought I'd be a preacher. And I like to preach. I tell a story, and this is a true story. I decided, Sue said she was looking for a godly man, and boy, she picked the wrong one. Because I was far from that, you know. And when I was in college, I was led to believe that somewhere along the line I needed to take speech. So, being brave, I took it as a senior. It was a freshman course. Figured I had all that wisdom. And, you know, I stood up, and my first speech, I was like this. They couldn't hear me because they had paper over me. And the instructor felt so sorry for me, they had me stand for like 10 speeches, stand up there with whoever was preaching for me to get used to it. And you know, the Lord blessed me. I learned a lot in that class, number one. Number two, he taught me that I have to count on him, not me. I have to be able to turn my life over to him. I forget that at times. I run before him at times. I get myself in trouble at times. But we have to, all of us have to patiently wait on the Lord. We have to wait for it in our jobs, our homes, testimonies even here this weekend about that. To seek that the first, the kingdom of God. And he knows talents that we might have that we don't even know that we might have. He'll use us at times when we don't even know that we're going to be used. It might be just going and visiting somebody. It might be sending somebody a letter, a phone call, whatever it is. Those are all ways that we can serve God. And if those things are placed on our heart, we have a need to fulfill them and listen and do those things that he's telling us to do. We find those churches that are growing today, you know, out and trying to get numbers. But what do the scriptures say? We turn to the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 13th verse. It says, "Enter ye in that straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Straight and narrow way, a defined, safe passageway to leads to eternal life. We find, as we go on and read that there in Matthew, that telling us to beware of false prophets, and goes on in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You know, not everybody that's praising the Lord is going to end up there. It's going to be those that do his will, that do those things that he has commanded you. He goes on there, and in the 23rd or so verse, he's saying, 22nd verse, "Many will come to me in that day," talking about the last day, "Have we not prophesied thy name? Have we in thy name that cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And he will say unto them, "I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." But those that hear the sayings of him and do them, he'll be blessed. We become his sons and his daughters, and he'll profess. Jesus Christ will be our advocate with the Father when we stand before God to be judged according to our words. And he'll tell the Father, "No, Father, these are those that you sent me. These are mine. My sons and my daughters, have mercy upon them." He's the advocate. And we need him. And at the last day, there's no other name or way by we can receive eternal salvation to be part of the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus Christ. Except through following his example. Except through repenting. Being baptized. Having hands laid upon us. And enduring to the end. We believe the scriptures. We have to continue. We have to press forward, as it talks about in the third chapter, or second chapter of Nephi in the 13th verse. We have to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and the love of all men. We have to know that God meant what he said. We have to press forward. We have to fight against the chisms and and Satan and those the forces of evil that are around and about us. We have to continue. We have to proclaim the words of Jesus Christ. We as a church are responsible. He's called us out to that, to do that. And we have to support that with every fiber of our being. Whatever that is. Whatever the Lord is calling us to do, we have to do it with diligence. You know, in the book of Jude, right, that book right before the book of Revelation in the Bible, he tells us, says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." He's talking to us. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We're to earnestly contend for that old, old path we stand about. We're to earnestly contend for the truths of the gospel of Christ. We're to seek his will in our life. We're to yield to his calling. We're to flee from sin and to abhor it. And we're to proclaim the truth in love. not being obnoxious about it, but by example, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, to show that we serve a God that never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find that, you know, as we go throughout our life, we find that we have many trials and temptations that might sidetrack us at times. We find that sometimes the task is great and it seems unbearable, and it is if we do it by ourselves. We have to yield. You know, the Book of Mormon, I'm trying to think of where it is. It says, the natural man is an enemy to God, has been and always will be, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and becometh a saint. We have to recognize about our natural being. We're an enemy to God. We're prideful, we're sinful, we're hateful at times, we're selfish, you know, we're short-tempered, we don't have any patience. I guess I'm talking about myself. You know, we have to set that side aside. We have to put on a new life and a new being and have a mind of Jesus Christ. We have to follow His example. So that's why it tells us to read the scriptures, so that we will know what they say. So if somebody comes and says something else, or if Satan comes and tempts us, we'll know right away if it's true or if it's false, and have no part of it. You know, that's the duty we have. It's a responsibility. We have to encourage each other to do that. You know, in the Book of Mormon, I tell people this after we have a baptism service or the laying on of hands many times. You know, it's a tradition, I guess, in the Church of Christ. We have a hand of fellowship. We do that in India or Africa, and we explain this tradition, shake their hand and hug them, and, you know, and just like we always do. And then we talk about, and I talk to them about a responsibility that we have is the body of Christ, to remember each other. Our brother said about it, talked about, I think it was wrong, talk about praying for the souls of our brothers and sisters. In Moroni, in the 6th chapter, it says, and their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. We're to pray for one another. It said the church is to meet together oft, to fast and to pray and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And it goes on, it says, and they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. Whoso was found to commit iniquity, and 3 witnesses of the church to condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out. Sounds tough. But that's what we're told to do. We're told to, first of all, to pray for one another. I need your prayers. We need to pray for one another. Pray that we'd be strong. Pray for those of our brothers and sisters that we don't see here anymore. Pray for those, you know, let's leave it to just Michigan. You know, I asked Dennis, he's got a list that Rowan gave him. There's 220 members of the Church of Christ in Michigan. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying that they'd come back into the congregations and fulfill their promise. Praying and let them knowing that, you know, the Lord might let them know that we're depending on them, He's depending on them, that the body might be whole, that all the particular ones that He's called might be here, and we might be strong and be able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan that encompass us about and lead us astray and bring us discouragement. We need to remember that those people were called for a purpose. It was God's purpose. and they're precious in his sight. And he mourns over their loss. And we mourn over their loss. It's just like having a sliver in your foot. You know, I had a sliver in my foot just on vacation. It just about drove me nuts. I couldn't function because of my toe hurt. And if part of the body hurts, you can't function. And it's just a reminder to me that, you know, we have, as a body, we're not whole unless we're all together. We need to pray for the differences that we might have in some of our beliefs. Fortunately, I think we're pretty well in line. The Lord has blessed us over the years. You know, we've been able to become more united in the body of Christ. And he's continuing to bless us as we become more active and more zealous in proclaiming his word wherever we might be. You know, I am so proud of the Bradley Local for their live streaming and Skype classes and all that. You know, you can reach right from here, you can reach out to the world. Did it ever occur to you? Anybody in the world can come in on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and hear the gospel of Christ preached. What a wonderful blessing. You know, I was talking to a fellow the other day, same one I talked about, actually I was on the phone with Brandon Tarbell and this man. And Brandon said, you know, you need to get on the live stream. He says, been there, done that, found it on the internet. You know, we couldn't wait to tell him, and the guy had already found it. You don't know who's listening to that, you know. And you don't know if their heart might be touched or when it will be touched, because it will happen. There are those, you know. Most of our contacts in the church today are through the internet. You know, they come onto our site, onto the Bradley site or the church headquarters site, whatever, you know. And that's a fulfillment of the promises of the last day. It should bring us words of encouragement and strength to let us know that God is aware that is blessing his church, and that it might encourage us to speak out. You know, a lot of years we've been kind of silent and kind of drawn in, you know. Maybe some of us, me at times, might even have been reluctant to bring forth the Book of Mormon or my belief. Shame on me. The Lord has preserved those things. They're to be proclaimed to the nation. I don't mean to cram it down their throat or, not that way, but, you know, to testify and to witness to others of the love of Jesus Christ and his promises and how he's not a respecter of people. He didn't just come to Jerusalem. He didn't just come to the Jews. He, you know, came to the Gentiles. He sent his apostles to the Gentiles, but he came to all the 12 tribes of Israel throughout the world. And the hope that we have of those records that are going to come forth yet in the last days of the other tribes. And they're going to come forth, and they will have them before us, and they're going to teach exactly the same thing. The Bible and the Book of Mormon. Because we're told in the scriptures that within those two books we have the fullness of the gospel. That, you know, we have an advantage, I think my brother Ron spoke of it that way, of having the fullness of the gospel, and we need to use it. We need to understand it. We need to understand how to find what our beliefs are out in it. Quote the scriptures, be able to let people turn to those and read it for themselves. Every one of us should have that ability, should have that desire that the Lord might be able to use us to be able to do that. But we have to remember each other that we might continue in the right way. It's the duty of the body of Christ to remember each other. We have this spiritual warfare going on, and I've got a list of scriptures here. I'm running out of time, and I'm not gonna take more than need to give. But I want to encourage us. I want to remind us of what it is that the Lord has called us to do. To think about your own call into the Church of Christ. Some of us might have been raised in the church. Some of us might have, met somebody in the freshman year of college or whatever, but, there's a reason. There's a reason. And there's those of us, that procrastinate. There's those of us that know the truth. And we may have done it ourselves, like I did, foolishly, for 17 years, and didn't allow myself to yield and come into the church. And I wasted time and effort, and tried to figure things out without the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I faltered, and I would allow other things to reflect my intentions, and my pride, and concerns, and my quote-unquote fun I was having out in the world. But it says in the scriptures, we're not to procrastinate the day of our repentance. Don't think that we can wait till the last day. Any sin that we have in our life, whether members of the church or not, we have to bear repentance. We have to come and follow the example and do what Christ has told us to, that we might be spiritually strong, each one of us. If there's anything I have been sorry about in my life, is the time that I wasted. I know I said this here, but I met Sue. Fortunately, the Lord blessed me, and I never had any trouble with the Book of Mormon. But it was 17 years before I joined the church. 17 years I wasted. Why did I do that? I knew better. I knew what the right church was. You can read the scriptures backwards, forwards, upside down. They all teach you the same thing. You have to be obedient. You have to come. You have to repent. You have to humble yourself, and you got to live the life. You got to have faith. You got to have faithfulness, as Dennis tells me. Endurance that our brother talked about. The Lord will bless us. When I was out there and not a part of the church, procrastinating, I guess I thought that, there's no way I can ever make it. I had things in my life that I had to put aside. And once I decided to be baptized, I was able to do that. As I was starting to search the scriptures and preparing myself, the Lord helped me do that. And I'm thankful for that. And it's the promise of God. But each one of us, it tells us not to procrastinate. It tells us not to procrastinate the day of our repentance. But let us not procrastinate using the blessings that God has given us, even the gift of the Holy Spirit that we as the church have. And allow Him to direct us in our life. To yield. Become that new person. Put on the mind of Christ. Follow His example. Study Him. Find out what His example is. Ask ourselves when we're in a situation, how would Christ handle it? Or when we're about ready to walk into some place or something, would Christ do that? Would He be there? What would He think of me? Am I being a good witness for Him? We have to be strong. The world is looking at you and I. The world's going to look at us a lot closer in the near future. There's a things of the mighty work of God falls into place, and things in the world becomes more polarized, and the Church of Christ becomes stronger, and the forces of evil are against it, and it's going to happen. You know, we're going to stick out like a sore thumb to them. But God's going to be with us. As long as we're obedient. As long as we're well-read and well-studied and well-prayed and pray and humbled ourselves and allow Him to direct us. He'll be able to use us and direct us to fulfill His promises. We've been given explicit instruction this weekend. Some of the things we need to do. Our brother Mike last night told us to seek first the kingdom of God. He told us. You know, that's something, you know, we don't do as a group. We have to do that as an individual. Get down and really pray about it. Allow them to direct us. Let them help us to figure out what our priorities have been, and are they in accordance with His holy will. We're to pray that the Lord's Spirit might work with us. Brother Ronald talked about the need for a greater spiritual strength. And we need to pray for that and be ready to follow it and to know what the Lord's Spirit, how He speaks to us. And it might be different to each one of us. We're to remember that our natural instincts, you know, as natural men, we're an enemy to God. We have to yield to enticings and humble ourselves. We have to become a new creature. But He'll help us do that. We might fall. We have to repent of those things. We need to make sure that our efforts and our priorities are for the purpose of serving God. We're to separate ourselves. We're to become a peculiar people, a different people. We're not to partake of the things of the world. I don't mean that we should be a bunch of oddballs running around. I mean that we should be righteous and let our light shine to others in love, in compassion, in inviting them, in trying to be an example for them, not looking down at them, but to raise them up, that they might too have the joy that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to attend church whenever possible. We're to be here or studies or whatever it is. You know, we're to meet together and fast and pray for the welfare of our brothers and sisters. We're to participate in all our activities, if it's picnics, potlucks, reunions, whatever it might be, that we might fellowship with like believers, having the same goals, having the same aspirations, having the same problems, having the same temptations, that we might strengthen ourselves and be able to rise ourselves up above the turmoil of the world. Or we won't be able to endure. We have a need to be in quiet meditation that allows the Lord's Holy Spirit to work within us, to listen to a still small voice so that we would not. Adam said, we're to become the saints of God, His sons and His daughters. Search that out in the scriptures. What does that mean? Full purpose of heart. You know, scriptures tell us we're at a spiritual warfare. You know, we're to be marching with a purpose. We're to look forward to the Zion and the second coming of Jesus Christ and be prepared. We're to prepare ourselves for the, you know, that's not a stroll through the park. That's something with purpose. You know, trying to purify and strengthen us individually and collectively that we might be found pleasant or pleasing to our Heavenly Father, to His Son, Jesus Christ, when He comes again, that it might be found well with us. Jude said, you know, to earnestly contend. In fact, I'm going to go back to Jude and finish there. See my notes. He tells us in verse 3 to earnestly contend for that the old past. Jeremiah 6:16, you know, search out the old ways. The scriptures are full. Seek those things from above. Got to be a desire and a force that leads us on our daily activity. Jude here, and I'm not going to read him, he reminds them. He reminds us what he did in those cases with those that turned against what he had taught them to do. And every one of us in this room are responsible for those things. Every one of us, because we've heard. We're accountable to God for what we know. There's no exceptions. Oh, yeah. The little children. But not the rest of us. Not those of you who know what I'm saying. You know? And so it's important that we react and we not be the murmurers and complainers and that he talks about here, but that we separate ourselves and become his sons and his daughters, that he might be able to use us for his purpose, that we might be saved, that those of the nations of the earth might hear the gospel of Christ, that they might be saved, that his people might be gathered in at the last days and might be able to be protected over the trials and the tribulations that are going to come upon the world. But God has provided. He has provided, and he has provided a place of refuge for us, our will, that we need not fear. The righteous need not fear. The scriptures are full of the punishments of God upon those that have heard and have turned from him or give him a deaf ear. But the scriptures are full of the promises of God, of those that are faithful, those that endure, those that continue in the faith, those that have truly become as the saints and his sons and daughters, those that have searched out the kingdom and those things and removed those things from their life. Not that we can do it by ourselves, but together we can do it. Together with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our advocate, we can overcome and we can be perfected in Him, and that it might be found well with us in the last day. The only way the Lord is dependent on our faith. He works according to our faith. And he can overcome all our weaknesses, all those reasons and things that we think of, things we can't do or can't be done, or what a little old church that we are. Through faith, all things can be overcome. And he's called us for his purpose. Let us rise up and be the people that he wants us to be. Let us remember each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's seek those out in our congregations that I haven't been attending, that for whatever reason have fallen away, have been discouraged. Let's seek those out in Michigan, in the world, throughout this continent and other continents. Those that are believers in the church and even haven't even heard, or those that have fallen away and need to come back and be encouraged, that once again the body might be full, well, full and be prepared to do the Lord's work. Thank you.